My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
James Hamm of the Insiders.
Of the Ignite.
You know, he's trying out. Well, they're no longer.
They gave him the gear. That's why we have all this Ignite gear, because they no longer exist.
But the one thing I was looking for, and I was like, whoa, we're going to have it. They referenced, what was it, 2016, where they made so much money. The cap went crazy for that 1 year. Yep. Warriors signed Durant. Yep. I remember that's the Mozgov
summer. Timofey Mozgov year.
And this what's in place now is to prevent that from happening again.
Right.
But I was like, oh, is that what they're saying is going to happen this first year? Like, we're going to have another summer?
I think
they
call it cap smoothing.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah,
cap smoothing. They are not doing a cap smoothing. Or are they smoothing the cap? Yes.
They are.
They are.
They didn't do it before.
Yeah, they didn't do it in 2016, and that's why Timofey Mozgov has probably the most infamous contract in the history of
him and John Konkak. Those are the two.
Oh.
Every time. Jim McElvain got a huge stupid deal after the 98-99 lockout.
Yeah.
Him and I think Ike Austin also got a huge deal. They're going to try to do away with, try to smooth it out a little bit more. They're going to basically take all the extra money, put it in an impound account, and then have it redistributed to the players on the back end. I don't know how they're going to do that. I don't know like who gets what percentage or anything like that, but I think that is sort of the plan, at least initially, because there's no way you can raise a cap 10% when the salary cap is jumping. Well, when the television money is going from, I think it 2.7 billion to 6.8 in 1 year.
Right.
Yeah, so they're going to have to figure out a way to balance all that as they keep pushing the cap up. But I think they're going to use an impound account and then reroute the money back to the players.
Were you familiar with it? Because we were talking about an article that we read about this clause that basically you talk about balancing it out. If it becomes unbalanced, it would trigger a clause in the CBA where they'd have to tear it up and start a whole new one or something like that. Were you familiar with that? Is that something that's common with whenever a media rights deal and a new media rights deal is negotiated? Like, if it doesn't stay on balance with the players getting their basketball related income and stuff like that, then the CBA, I don't want to say becomes null and void, but they have an opt out. If it triggers an opt out clause.
That was always going to be the plan here. But at the same time, like, look, everyone knew this television deal was coming. I mean, it's been like 5 years. Everyone knew this deal was coming and it was going to be like tremendously larger in annual income for the league than it was previous television deals. This thing has been in the works for absolutely years. And so look, they have all of these clauses built in. But it just means that they need to be honest and upfront with their accounting and make sure that they're paying the players the right way. And then again, there has to be some sort of written, like, functional way to pay players. So You know, I've talked about this a bunch of times. Like, you know, like Harrison Barnes forever makes like 12.5-13% of the salary cap. You can't use that number though. You can't just give Harrison Barnes 13% because the salary is way higher than that, right? So the Kings go above the salary cap, so we can't project it off of. We could project it off of what the Kings spend, and then kind of figure out. But it's just a sheer salary cap number. You can't do that with. So I'm intrigued to see how it works out, because what does it mean for? Does it mean that like a rookie, or that like an undrafted rookie, goes from making like $1 million on his standard contract, but then gets an extra $2 million in this revenue sharing, because it might be that much money doubling up for a young player like that. So we're going to have to figure it out. Like there's got to be some sort of like mathematical equation in place to handle this deal.
You spent a little bit of time on the insiders today talking about the schedule, and of course it'll be officially released tomorrow, but anything stand out to you with what you know about the Sacramento Kings schedule? Or I should ask, what stands out most about the Sacramento Kings schedule?
Yeah, I haven't gone through everything with a fine-tooth comb, which I probably will do later on tonight, so we can have that discussion tomorrow when Jake Gaden jumps on and joins us on the Insiders. But I do know they have 2 6-game road trips. One in January, which they always have, which is a pretty brutal stretch, which like who knows how they will do, but it's Denver, it's I think it's New York, it's
crazy.
Brooklyn. They hit Minnesota and OKC on the way home. Mm-hmm. Like it's a really, really tough schedule. But then the other 6-game road trip is right at the end of the season with only 3 games left in the year, but it's a more reasonable 6-game road trip than I've ever seen, with some really simple, really easy games. And especially, you know, we talked a little bit about this on the way out the door, but like there are going to be a lot of teams who are chasing, what is it? Cooper Flag?
Yeah.
There are going to be a lot of teams who at the end of the season are like, hey, we're good. And teams like Charlotte, Detroit, and those are the teams that Kings are going through in that final stretch. So I actually think the final 6-game road trip, I would prefer that as opposed to last year when they did that horrible 2 road trips back east in the final 3 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. And I think it really winded the Kings and led to injuries and stuff like that down the stretch, where all of a sudden you had to go do some weird trip to Atlanta and Orlando, and then you had to go back to another trip in Boston and New York. Even remember it was New York,
mm-hmm.
Boston, New York again.
Yeah.
Where I think they stayed in the same hotel, but either way, it really put like this odd like stress on the Kings, where they're flying another, you know, 6,000 miles round trip right before the end of the season.
Off the top of my head, it was New York, Boston, Brooklyn, mm-hmm. OKC.
Oh.
Yeah, weird stop on the way home. We're just going to drop you in OKC on the way home.
Yeah, a lot of...
They blew 20 point leads in that.
Oh, they did. Mm. That's when the 20-point leads started becoming a stat.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, the Kings have the most blown 20-point leads in the league.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's not great.
Nope.
I'll say late in the season, the one in late March to early April is Orlando, Indiana, Washington, Charlotte, Cleveland, Detroit. And of those, I mean, even if you aren't playing tremendously, that's 3 wins. That's a 500 road trip with a 6-game trip.
3 of those teams are bad. Mm-hmm. 3 of those teams that are bad, the Kings lost to last year.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And that's really what this boils down to.
Yeah.
To hit them with the Draymond Green, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't lose to those teams again.
It feels like that's what this season is going to be about. Just don't do that. This is the new version of the 9-game losing streak.
Right.
Just beat these teams.
Yeah.
And everything else will work itself out. On a positive note, Ham, we talked about like kind of it's not the first half of the schedule, but from December 8th to January 6th, they don't leave California. They play at home all those games, and then their two road games are at the Lakers and at the Warriors. So that's a good look. That's a positive for them.
Yeah, this is kind of standard too. The Kings usually play a bunch of home games in December, and then in December when they are traveling, it's not very far. I would say though, you have to remember that the in-season tournament is going to be pushed into the NBA Cup. Emirates NBA Cup, it will be thrown in the middle of that. And so you still have more games to play in that area. So you don't know where you might have to go for like a one gamer, you know, whether it's, you know, Minnesota.
Last year I had to go to Phoenix. That was made no sense, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought like a couple other things. The first 32 games of the season, they play the Lakers four times and then you don't play them again. Which I think is really, I don't like that. I think it's irresponsible from the league on both sides. Like the Kings and Lakers could look totally different in October, November, December than they do in February, March, and April. And I would like to see, especially like divisional opponents, like I would like to see it a little better balanced, like where you see teams at the beginning and the end of the year and you mix some of those games up. So that's one. They also had a couple of like weird back to backs. Like they have a road back to back in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So two games in a row in New Orleans, which hey, that could lead to a disastrous couple of days, especially if Odyssey wants to send me to New Orleans to cover a couple of games that I'm all in.
Oh, sweetie. That's adorable.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll send you to Tom's Watch Bar.
That's so cute. If Odyssey wants to send me, that is adorable.
That's right.
The Kings had one of those, didn't they? Weren't we looking at one where the Kings, maybe they don't. I'm glancing now. I thought the Kings had a home back to back. Maybe I'm just thinking of the Lakers that's separated by a day. That is what I'm thinking of. Yeah,
I would also caution too, like a lot of, like, I think we're gonna see this schedule parts of the schedule that I've seen, the tidbits that I have, I'm gonna say that like there, I don't think there's any way the Kings go the first 40 games of the season without being on national television. And so I think the final schedule usually looks a little bit different. And, you know, some of the pieces I've seen like show like some strange anomalies for the schedule. And so I could see it being they could pick up a bunch of games in the first half. Now, I'm not promising that. I'm just saying like to go from 22 nationally televised games to 7 is a pretty dramatic, like, hey, you guys weren't very good and now you're going to pay the price for a year.
The interesting thing to me as well
definitely
is
definitely the case.
When you talk about that, the potential to not even be on NBA TV early in the season. I mean, NBA, one of the things that's like an issue that will change in a few years is, to a certain degree, they don't have enough West Coast teams. So, like, if you want a doubleheader, a Monday doubleheader, sometimes you might only have one or two options because the 7 o'clock game or 7:30 game. There's only one or two teams on the West Coast that late. And I would think because of that, you know, there'd be more times early in this season when Kings would be on NBA TV. But John Cunningham said the first national TV game won't be till January.
Yeah, it's not until January. And I mean, to me, that's really strange. I also I think that they're just like the schedule isn't complete 100%. That's what it feels like. So at least, you know, some of the stuff I've seen. So we'll see. Like, I don't think the Kings are going to get totally dumped on by the league, especially when they were, I mean, realistically, they're must-see TV. Like, the whole first half of the season, those Warriors-Kings games on Friday nights were tremendous. And we can talk about all kinds of, like, ratings and market sizes and stuff like that, but the fact is that Sacramento is one of the premier basketball markets in America when it comes to viewership. So if you look at the Olympics, California, I mean, Sacramento, dominated like the Olympic coverage of where people were watching from, which is surprising because they didn't have players representing the Kings in the Olympics, but still huge base here in Sacramento of NBA fans who tune in. And I think that's the biggest thing.
They were scouting opponents for Keegan and De'Aaron in LA. I think that's what was going on.
Well, yeah,
probably.
You talk about the potential of playing the Lakers so early. That might be a good thing. That's before they get Giannis.
Before Giannis demands a trade.
I'll play the Lakers early before they make that big all-in trade move.
Yeah, I think they get Giannis and Damian Lillard in that trade. Like they get both.
And they give up Austin Reeves.
Right. Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah, you're right,
he's
James.
Untouchable,
that'd be crazy.
He's untouchable.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah. Shout out Gabe Vincent.
It'll all be built around Rui Hachimura.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go.
I said this yesterday. I think it was when the in-season tournament stuff came out. We saw, okay, none of the Kings games are on national TV for the in-season tournament. And we looked at the pool and figured out, okay, they're probably a victim of who's in the pool. Like, I get that. It's no big deal. I also made the decision, like, the amount of in-season tournament games, or excuse me, the amount of nationally televised games that they get, it's whatever. Like, I don't care. Like, the Kings have bigger fish to fry, as they say. At the same time, again, I don't care. However. This team is two games worse than they were the year before. Are you kidding me right now? Like, two games worse. Let me see that Denver Nuggets schedule real quick.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Let me see the schedule of some of these other squads. Let me hold those real quick.
Those guys.
Two games worse. But it's whatever. Y'all want five national TV games? Yeah, five national TV games.
You added a guy. You know what I mean? But
man, they really hated that trade. Mm. Signing, trade, whatever. Mm. They really did hate that.
I don't understand it.
Mm. Yeah, it's totally bizarre.
Harrison Barnes gets it. Sorry, James, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say Harrison Barnes gets a huge pop, doesn't he? When he comes back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he gets a standing ovation and he gets the full like video, everything. And yeah, I think he gets a gigantic ovation in Sacramento.
And our buddy's booze amplified because he's wearing a Warriors jersey now.
Yeah, that's going to create chaos. We were talking about that earlier, me and Jesse. If you're going to come off the bench with Buddy Hield and Kyle Anderson, are there like two more diametrically like opposed players? Like, how is that going to work out? Like one guy who like can't stand still and the other one who looks like he's frozen in time.
Mm.
It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how they got DeAnthony Melton. That's a good look. And like we said, look, Buddy Hield is a fine player. He's not a game changer.
Yeah.
He's not a game changer. He's not a guy that can elevate your team, I don't believe. I'm not bad. Worst of luck to the Warriors. That's what I hope for.
Yeah, that's facts.
Mm-hmm.
Worst of luck always. Always. Let's shift gears here for a minute from the schedule to, we were having a lengthy discussion on Keon Ellis. And obviously with, you know, wondering what Kevin Huerter will be this season, and the Kings signing Malik Monk. We know what Malik's desires are, and it's probably difficult to have this conversation without talking about starting and a reserve role. But we've kind of wondered what exactly Keon's role would be with the Sacramento Kings this year. And I posed the question earlier, Hammer, what did Keon do wrong last year that wouldn't solidify the fact he has a big role with this team in the upcoming season?
Okay, so I don't think he did anything wrong at all. And to be honest with you, like my personal point of view was I'm leaving him in the battle for the starting shooting guard spot without any question. Like I think he's probably your best on-ball defender. And I know that's saying a lot because I think Keegan Murray and De'Aaron Fox are both really good on ball defenders, but I still think he is. He fights through screens. He does everything that you want him to do. What do you shoot? 41, 42% from three. Like, he was an absolute dream addition in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. And so as far as that goes, I think he's in the rotation. I think he's in the top eight, top nine, without any question, in the rotation. Where he fits into that, and, you know, again, I think Devin Carter would have changed sort of what this looked like too. That's going to be a whole nother question. You still have to worry about things like the fact that, unfortunately, like, Keon Ellis is playing on a league minimum deal and Kevin Herter makes $17 million, and you need to keep Kevin Herter's trade value at a certain dollar amount at the least. And then you also hope that Kevin Herter can get back to the player he was before and be like a super impactful player. So I don't think this is as much what Keon didn't do as much as, you know, some of the other forces in play, whether it be the fact that you have a really talented 6'7" shooting guard who like had a bad season, but who's still like 25, 26 years old and has all kinds of potential to be part of an elite offensive group and a really good pairing with a guy like DeMar DeRozan as far as on the offensive end. But I still think, you know, you have to let all these things play out. Like, I think, again, Malik Monk will probably act as a primary ball handler with the second team. And if that's with Keon Ellis, that's fine.
It's been a while. It's been a while. Ooh. But that is official.
Wow.
A James Ham freeze.
Now the freeze screenshot gets me every time.
At 3:22 p.m. on Wednesday, August 14th, and James has thought out, and as usual, he is not amused by this at all. James, it's been a while.
School season about to start. That school year about to start, people coming home.
Oh, man, that school year started out in my area.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I left for my walk a few minutes too late. Don't do that again. Ooh. Do that again, because there's two schools on my way. Shout out to the teachers, to the parents. Shout out to all those kids on those stupid-ass bikes.
Well, let them live. The
I
ones
hate
that you don't
those.
Pedal.
Yes. How you got a motorcycle at 12?
They're
that's a straight-up motorcycle.
It's because you live in the good neighborhood.
I was about to say, they ain't got them in my neighborhood.
Liar.
You know what I mean? They ain't got them in my neighborhood.
You ain't even got a neighborhood. You got an area that belongs to you.
They can't ride those in my neighborhood. They're banned.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you can ride the electric bikes.
Well, you have...
You can't ride electric scooters.
You don't have sidewalks.
Not really.
I was going to say, I remember driving, like, yeah, you don't have, you can't even go for a walk in Ham's house.
You said you can't have an electric scooter?
No, they don't allow scooters at all, and they don't allow skateboards in the lake. Yeah, we had, like, I think a kid decided to go down the gigantic hill on the way to the front gate a few years back and didn't make
it. Ruined it for everybody. Oh, my gosh.
He ruined it for everybody.
I don't know how fast they go, but... I'd just be walking, me and Sprout just walking along, mine and I'd be, vroom. The hell was that? It's a 12-year-old on a motorcycle.
I would say probably no more than 20 miles per hour.
There's no way that's accurate.
No more than 25. That's right, cap it out.
I need an expert.
At that point, then you got to go.
I bet Justine knows. I'll ask Justine.
It's probably the same as like the jump bikes and all that. I don't think those go more than 20, I'd be shocked if they go more than 25. I'd be shocked they go more than 20.
Them things feel like they be flying.
Mm. Yeah.
But it could just be I don't walk very fast.
Chat's saying 40 to 45, 35 miles
per hour. I was
going to
say, that's a car.
Yeah, that's not smart.
Like, how do kids... All right, you know what? I'm an old man yelling at the clouds. I'm 45 years old. I'm just screaming about stuff.
Are they at least wearing helmets?
Some of them.
Yeah.
I got to imagine that's, I don't know.
No, I mean, legally.
Y'all didn't even sell my 45 joke, but it's whatever.
Did you hear about this, James? Yeah.
I don't know how old he is, so it doesn't.
I'm 44, but I told everyone yesterday with authority that I was 45. Like the whole day. And it wasn't until I got home with the cake and the whole deal. And I, April was like, yeah, you see, I put the four in the four for 44. I was like, I'm 45. She's like, no, you're not. I'm 45. And my mom goes, no, you're not. I was like, wait, what year is it? Like, oh, yeah, 44. I was born in 1980. Yes, I'm 44.
I had the reverse where my dad thought I was a year older and gave me a birthday card.
Oh, jeez.
So. Like, come on, bro. Like yeah. That's not cool.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. I just feel like Keon did everything we asked of him last year. He did everything I think Mike desperately was searching for. And we've kind of downplayed what his role will be in the upcoming season because we hope Kevin is better and we know what Malik is.
Yeah, for me, like personally, I don't get it. Like, I don't even really think it should be much of a competition. Like, Keon Ellis is the perfect role player to go along with a starting four of Fox, DeRozan, Sabonis, and Murray. Like, well, honestly, I think it's, but that's just me. Like, you can't start your five best players. And what you need is someone who's okay when they get five or six shots, but they're ready the entire time to take those five or six shots, which is what Keon is. And he's, again, he's a better defender than any of the other options than Malik or Kevin Huerter, without any question. He will allow you to shift De'Aaron Fox to not defend the toughest player. He can defend the second best perimeter player or even the third best defender perimeter player just because he's such a good defender and Keegan Murray can step in. So that way you can serve Fox within the starting
line. My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Lineup, like, there's a lot of pluses, but it's also, it's not usually that simple. Like, you know, like you don't want to delve into the politics of an NBA team, but sometimes that stuff matters. You need to hold up the value of a player at least until December, at least until January. So then that way, you know, if you do need to make a trade, you can show somebody like, look, we got a ball player here, and you know, you're not just trading for a contract, you're trading for a guy who's a viable piece to what you're trying to do. And so those things can come into play here. I don't know that they will, but I think he is like spot on the guy that I would circle and say, hey, look, that should be your starting shooting guard, in the same way that I think like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope made so much sense on the Denver Nuggets, and for that matter on the Los Angeles Lakers. And there's always players like that, but you need those other guys who are okay being the fifth guy. You know, even Kevon Looney, he's always been okay being the fifth option. And there's a lot of value to that when they provide this all this other stuff, as far as, you know, defensive prowess and, you know, all the things that Keon brings to the table.
I'll have a question and maybe a little bit of a pushback on that. Just
okay.
A little bit. Just
we'll talk about it. The Kings should head over to MapTrition.com and use the promo code DLO1320 to get ready for training camp, whether they're looking for strength enhancers, fat burners, or cravings crushers. MapTrition.com has got all of that. Of course, they got protein shakes as well. They got a great greens powder that you can mix into your drinks to make sure that you're getting all your greens. Head over to MapTrition.com. If you have any questions about these supplements, you can hit me up. You can hit up MapTrition. You can hit up my man, Greg. He formulated these supplements. He'll be able to tell you all about them. You won't be left wondering if you're falling for some clever marketing campaign or if you're purchasing a supplement that will really, really help you in your efforts to get in shape or just be healthy overall. Again, go to MapTrition.com and use the promo code DLO1320 at checkout. We'll come back with more from James Hamm here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
No, there's a couple things. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. No.
The game literally changed in 2 years. You couldn't see it on that particular, but watch how many people are standing behind the 3-point line.
So
this
we're
is 87.
We're, yeah.
It's, look how much faster it is.
It
more
is.
Athletic.
It is.
They're still on. The Celtics didn't get the memo. But the Lakers on that last position had two guys that were spotted up outside the 3-point line. Look, pass it back. Cooper, like, the game's just faster.
And the shots were way uglier back then.
This is only 2 years later.
No, it is. It's
looks
different.
Like a completely different game.
It's different. Is this the hook shot game?
Yeah.
87?
Yeah, Magic's baby hook.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay.
So that's interesting to see. Well, look at that guy in the corner. He's beyond the 3-point line.
He is. Is that Danny? Who is that?
I think it's Danny, or it could be who's
or
the
just
other
another
guy?
White guy. That's not Danny. That's number 12.
He was
who
a
the
coach.
Hell is that guy?
He was a coach. He was a coach. What the hell was his name?
It's not Rick Carlisle?
I don't think it's Carlisle. I think it might be Carlisle, but I thought it was somebody else. But he was a coach. Might have been Carlisle.
I love the little pop-up finals that's happening.
No, I love this. We need more of this. They need to update him, too. We need to have him. Kevin McHale's getting scolded. Yeah.
Look,
by Bennett Salvador.
This is incredible. This is just incredible to watch.
I was watching it earlier. I love it.
Kevin,
look, Danny Ainge behind a 3-point line.
Kevin's shorts are too tight and too short.
Did you say it's 87?
It's 87, yeah.
Is it the 86-87 playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the NBA Finals. It's the Lakers and Celtics.
Okay, so yeah. Rick Carlisle is on that team. He is number 34.
No, it's number 12.
Yeah, the guy we were looking at was number 12.
A Jerry Sichting?
Yeah, okay, I don't know who
yeah,
that is.
I guess
James.
I was wrong.
I don't know who that is either.
No clue.
The other thing, and we're going all basketball for sure, but I just wanted to point this out. I found the timeline. The Ayuk handshake, whatever.
Okay.
That was on July 31st. Almost 2 weeks ago.
The dap up
yeah.
with Kyle was 2 weeks ago?
July 31st.
Wow.
Hmm.
And we all thought, oh, yeah, that'll be done soon.
Yeah,
it's done soon.
Dumbass.
And here we are. Guy's gone.
It's never getting done. People reacting because he's wearing a 49ers shirt at practice.
I'm so done with this stuff.
All right, pal. What else do you want him to wear?
Well, it's only because he was wearing white T-shirts before that.
You wanted to fight James over something he said?
Not fight him. Just have a conversation.
Uh-oh.
We were talking about Keon Ellis.
We're talking about Keon, and James says you don't have your five best guys starting. I would say the majority of the time you do. I think the Kings are one team where maybe you don't. I'm trying to think of somebody else who, I mean, is Naz Reid better than Rudy Gobert? Yes, no, maybe. I don't know.
Probably what depends on what category you're talking about.
Right.
Like ranking them as an overall player is probably going to be tough.
Lou Will was, in his heyday, was he one of the best five players on the team? Yeah, maybe so. But the whole point is typically you do. Yeah. Like typically you do start your best five. So
no, I mean, some teams do, but a lot of teams have that the other guy who just plays defense. Like I go back to Philadelphia forever, whether it was Danny Green or PJ Tucker or what's his name that's in Portland now, Matisse Thybulle. Like a lot of times you have just like a defensive specialist as that fifth starter. And that, I mean, I think it's a good thing to have somebody like that, you know, having guys off the bench who are better, like having Malik Monk coming off the bench. I don't know. Last year he's your third best player. This year he's probably going to be your fourth/fifth best player. Him and Keegan Murray will be like a toss up. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Like to have that player off the bench. I know I got in a conversation years ago with Paul Westfall about this. And he said, yeah, we always have one of our best players coming off the bench. He's like all the way back to the Celtics days. And then he's like, and for a long time, Paul was that guy. Paul was a guy who averaged 20 something points per game multiple times in his career off the bench. And like, it's a good way to sort of change the dynamic of the team. And not only that, but there's only so many shots for the starting group, and whoever takes over that second group initially, it is usually a really strong offensive weapon too. It's hard to get like four guys in your starting five that are all averaging 12 shots or more, but it's easier to slide in the sixth or seventh guy who can get those 12 to 13 shots a game. And so I don't know, it's just kind of a weird dynamic, but I honestly don't even know where I would put Keon Ellis if we're trying to compare him and say, are you better than, it's tough because like what he brings to the court, like Kevin Huerter can't bring to the court. Yeah. You know what Kevin Huerter does, shoots threes. Keon shot better, but he didn't do it the same gravitational pull that Kevin Huerter did. But as far as the defensive end, there's no comparison in my book. It doesn't matter that Kevin Herter's a bigger shooting guard. Keon Ellis was just a full on better defender.
I don't have any problem with Keon starting, by the way. Like I'm fine with that. I think I agree with what James said. That's why I say I'm not really going to push back. I'm just asking a question because I agree having a guy like Keon, who is defense first, whatever shots that he gets, he's cool with, and he'll be ready to hit some catch and shoot stuff, is perfect for a team that has, you know, guys that are scoring in every other starting spot. So I don't know what I would do. I'd probably start Malik just because I want to see Malik and De'Aaron, but I love Keon starting at the two. I'd have no problem. No problem.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's not that Malik doesn't deserve to start. I would never say that. I think he can be a starter in this league. And I think, you know, there are many teams he could start at the point guard, you know, but at the end of the day, it's about finding the right fit of players like the whole time. And honestly, Malik has shown signs that he can defend, but Keon Ellis walks on the floor and is a defender, right? And I know like Sakir Nabagli here in the chat says the opponents leave Keon wide open and they're not doing that with Kev. That's because Keon started like 18 games a whole season. Like if you leave Keon Ellis open an entire season, it'll take about 30 games in before every team in the league starts trying to defend him. At least trying to leave somebody there because he shoots 41.7% from three on three attempts per game. Like he is showing to be a bona fide 3-point shooter, a floor spacer. And, you know, if you're going to start again, Fox, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Domantas Sabonis alongside Keon Ellis, nobody is game planning for Keon Ellis. They will leave him wide open because they have to defend the other guys. But they're also going to leave Kevin Huerter open in a lot of situations if that's your starting four with him, just because the other guys are going to draw a lot more attention.
We looked up the last 20 some odd games last year where Keon was playing a lot. We had him at 25 minutes per game last year, and of course, a good chunk of that, there's no Kevin Huerter and there's no Malik Monk. I think on the season, the average was like 17, the entire season was like 17 mm-hmm. minutes per game. Where would you, if you had to guess Keon's minutes per game, is he closer to the 17 or closer to the 25?
Yeah, I would put him at like 22, 23. That's where, I mean, I think you need his defense. Yeah. Like straight up, and I think you need his 3-point shooting, and whether starting or coming off the bench. But that's tough because, like, look, Fox is a 34, 35 minute per game guy. So what does that leave you? 13, 14 minutes. Monk played 28 to 30 minutes a game. Let's just say he plays 28. Mm-hmm. So that's 17 minutes. So what are we at? 30 minutes right there. Yeah. Like, how are you going to fill those? How are you going to use those 30 minutes? And are you going to use them with Keon Ellis playing 22 and someone else playing 8, or you have Keon Ellis playing that much and then DeMar DeRozan sliding into the backcourt for a certain amount of time? Like, there is going to be a numbers crunch on this team. Like, you can see it right away, and it's not going to be easy because I think they want to see Keegan Murray play plenty of 3 this year, which means, you know, Trey Lyles is going to play plenty of 4. So where are you going to get minutes for a Kevin Huerter? Where are you going to get the 34, 35 minutes a game for DeMar DeRozan? Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to run out of minutes pretty quickly, just because most of your prime players are also heavy, heavy minute players.
Yeah, that's why I think Keon's going to be probably around that 17 mark, you know, and I know that kind of balanced out because he was playing so much towards the end. That's how he got to 17. But I can see him being a real 17 this year, just because, like what you talked about, James, there's just, I don't know if there's going to be enough minutes. I mean, you've got, I would say, 3 guys for sure in Sabonis, Fox, and DeRozan that are going to be 30 plus. They're probably, like you just mentioned, they probably want to get Keegan to 30. Malik is going to be somewhere around 25 to 28. I don't know if my math is right, but I don't see room for another 20 minute a night guy in Keon Ellis. That's what I say, maybe about 16, 17.
Yeah, Keegan Murray averaged 33.6 last year, and I think he'll be 34, 35 this year. Mm. I don't think, without any question. Mm. Like, they're going to play him major minutes. He's young. They don't have another player who does what he does, and he's going to end up on the court a ton. So I don't know. Like, again, we like parceling out these little minutes. He's 13, 14 minutes at this position, this position, this position. Mm-hmm. That's why we always talk about they're going to play 8.5 players. You know, I don't think that they'll get to 9 players on average, even early in the season. You might have moments where guys are getting, you know, 3-4 minute burn here and there just to see what they can do and to keep them engaged. But it's going to be very, very difficult to try to balance this whole thing.
Now, that's a... might be a stretch to use this term, a shift in philosophy, or at least a shift in what Mike did last year. Because didn't Mike play a lot of guys last year? And at least to start the season, and maybe that has switched up a little bit with like Chris Duarte is gone. Like, maybe some of those guys where you're trying to figure out exactly what you have, maybe because those guys are gone, it's different. But I feel like Mike was playing 10-ish guys to start the season last year.
It was usually 9, but it depended on who that, like, the 8th or 9th guy was. Because remember, there are times where Davion Mitchell fell out of the rotation. There were times where JaVale McGee was in the rotation. Alex Lynn was out, and then Alex Lynn was in, and JaVale was out. Like, you had a bunch of moments. But I would also say early in the season, not having Trey Lyles for, like, that first 13 games, and then Alex Lynn got dinged up in a game or two, and then De'Aaron Fox missed a couple of games. You had, like, early in the season, you had some gaps, which may have forced him to use more players and sort of, like, tinker and see who's working and who's not, like, whether it's within specific groups or just overall who's having success on the court and who's not. I think Mike had to tinker, but if he doesn't have to, he's not going to. Like, that's not who he typically is. He's a guy who likes to have 8.5-9 man rotation, and worst case scenario, a 10th man. But even that 10th man is going to really be like a half. You might get a guy who's playing like 12 minutes or something. And that's, you know, sometimes. And I don't think he's going to plan on that for most of the year.
One of the other things that we kind of talked about when we were trying to figure out playing time, who's going to play all this other stuff is, you know, I mentioned about Kevin Huerter. And what do you think about the potential of him kind of being to balance everything out and make sure everybody gets some minutes, him being more of a off the bench three type of guy, you know what I mean? Like some small forward type of guy. He is 6'7", you know, it's not like he's small. And I think maybe, I don't know, because maybe he's not as fast on his feet and everything else like that. Maybe, you know, guarding some guys that are traditionally a little slower at the three position might help him out in that respect. Maybe he doesn't have the physicality to stay with those guys. That might be an issue. But foot speed wise, maybe that might be a better matchup for him.
Yeah, it's something I've been saying for a while. Like I think Kevin Huerter as a defender is more of a three than a two. And I, you know, to be honest, I always thought that the Buddy Hield played defense like an undersized three, not a two. Like there's a big difference between being out at the point of attack, out above the free throw line, and staying with somebody in the corner. You know, lateral quickness, everything else. When you're playing somebody who's based in the corner or based on a sideline area, you have both the inline and the sideline to use as defensive helpers. And then the defense can come faster from behind you to support you. Where if you're, yeah, sorry about that. yeah.
James, sir, well, just Bruce is listening.
Just happens. So I think that having a Kevin Huerter like play a small forward position on the defensive end actually is probably better than any other position that he could play. But that's just me. Like I might be wrong.
But that's,
you know,
the thing I kind of get hung up on is like it feels like if he came off the bench, there's so much that he could do. There's so many different. It's not like, oh, he's got to go in for whether it's Malik or Keon or whoever. It's like, hey, let's get DeMar out of there, or DeMar needs him, or let's, like, I just feel like there might be a few more options if Kevin Huerter is coming off the bench in terms of exactly where you put him on the floor and what type of lineups you want to create against that particular opponent. That's my fault. I'm sorry I cracked. I heard it, but it was funny.
It was.
You got to throw a flag on that. Like, this, come on. But
just talk about defense, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know. Defense. James is trying to be a professional, for goodness sakes.
That's right.
I feel like there's a lot you can do with Kevin in that potential sixth or seventh man role.
No, I think that there is too. And that's where I would kind of like aim this group. But like you do have to worry about value. You do have to worry about like mental health and keeping someone in the right frame of mind and all that stuff. I think that if you try to make the move early on and you say, hey, look, like Keon Ellis is our starter, like whether that's the guy or not, like just say like Keon Ellis is starting. It's his job to lose. We think he was tremendous last year in both the early season when he got an opportunity, but late in the season when everyone got hurt, we think he's earned the right to start. Right. Mm-hmm. And if you told Kevin Huerter that in the beginning, or you told him that during the summer, you might have a different like opportunity to see where he goes. Right. Mm-hmm. But what I don't think you can do is sort of mess with the chemistry and the culture right away.
You know, the interesting thing about Kevin Huerter as well, especially coming off the bench and all this other stuff, is if he performs well in that role and, you know, helps out, like, why would you trade him? Because, like, I don't think you'd be trading him for – we talked about this earlier as well, James. I don't think you'd be trading him for, you know, another guy that's trying to get 20 a night. Like, if he's producing off the bench, you know, holding his own on the defensive end, providing an offensive spark, that's almost what you would be trying to trade for. You know what I'm saying? So why not just keep the guy who's actually giving you that type of production?
Well, no, I totally get what you're saying. And I think the counter argument would be, could you get, you know, sort of the same 3-point shooting out of like Cam Johnson, but with better defense, mm-hmm. with the length and athleticism, with true, like better size at the three or the four? And like maybe, but he's not going to be as dynamic a scorer. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, the Brooklyn Nets were just atrocious offensively last year. And they really could have used somebody other than Cam Thomas, who's just a mad chucker, to step up and actually take some of the scoring load off of both, you know, him and Mikal Bridges. And Cam Johnson wasn't able to do that. Mm. So, like, I would like to say that, you know, that's the guy that maybe could do that, where I think Kevin Huerter has a potential to go for 30, not every night, but he has a potential to go for 25 on almost any night. Mm-hmm. And whether that's on as a starter off the bench, you know, this always comes back to fit. It always comes back to, can you get the same productivity, but out of a better defender, a better athlete that can help cover up for some of your other weaknesses? And the answer is maybe, because like Kevin Huerter has never been a take a charge guy. He's not a shot blocker. He's not a particularly great rebounder. He's okay rebounding. On occasion, he has big rebounding nights, but I'd be willing to, like, clearly if he's still there, the Kings they've got to be willing to walk into the season with him, mm-hmm. and see how it goes.
Let's bring in our man. I want to introduce everybody to Joe Brazil. You might be familiar with our man Joe. If you've ever been with us at Sky River, at Concerts in the Park,
Ice Rink.
Joe goes everywhere with us. He's filled in a couple of times when Jesse's been out, and he's hosting a show today with Charlie.
Nice.
The Green and Gold
pre-game
show. Charlie
called pre-game
it.
Show. Green and Gold
that's
pre-game
right.
show.
Right. Why are we airing a Green and Gold pre-game show? I don't know, but who cares? It's fun. Let's do it. We're all about vibes here at ESPN 1320. So that's what we're doing. And our man Joe, he wanted to be on the air. And the first rule of thumb is, when you walk into a studio, have your headphones with you.
Yeah, you know what? I already failed that one, huh? I messed that one up.
Man, we're excited for you. This is good.
Man,
you
salute,
do,
man.
Thank you, guys.
You do great work when you're out with us, you know, in these streets, man. But we're excited to hear you on the air coming up in a couple minutes.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I had a great time. I mean, we talked baseball. I can do that any day, right? Yeah. And we had a great time, dude. We talked some A's. The game last night was
talk,
really
exciting. Talk, because it's live. No, it's good. You're just breaking kayfabe on your first day. It's good.
Already blew it.
Just out
wore
here.
A giant tattoo and A's show.
Jay didn't really light
somebody on fire.
just jumping on Monday Night Raw going, it's all fake. It's all fake.
I'm excited
Don't
to
worry,
talk
no
baseball.
It's fake.
There
right?
you go. There
I'm
you
very
go.
Excited. I'm stoked.
Can't wait to talk.
I can't
baseball.
Wait. The game last night was great. Right?
Well, what we're excited for, man, is you told us this is what you wanted to do, and we're excited you're getting the opportunity to do it.
Thank you.
Make the most of it. Have fun with Charlie. He's a pro. He's an old school pro, but he's a pro. Find your voice and. And we're excited to kind of watch you grow from here, man. This is exciting work, man. You'll
kill it, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm very confident in that. Yeah.
Thank you, James. I see.
We're big fans of Joe Brazil here.
Appreciate
so stick around for some A's talk. That's up next, right? The Green and Gold pregame show. That's up next.
Yeah, it's completely live.
And I got to run over to that studio. I got to get over there real quick.
There you go. Yeah. Go run over there and prepare for your live broadcast.
I got you.
And we will see you guys tomorrow here on Sacramento Sports Leader, beginning at 10 a.m. with James Hamm and Jake Gaden.
Yeah.
Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, gigantes.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!